You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, let's get into our mental health chat with Pearline Coughlin from the Vista Clinic. She's going to be speaking to us about supporting loved ones with PTSD. Now, when someone you care about has PTSD, it can be hard to know what to say or what to do. So should you give them space? Should you offer them advice? Should you tell them about that thing that you heard on AWR the other day? Today, we're going to be discussing how to support a loved one while taking care of your own well-being. Sometimes some of these relationships can become very codependent, and we want to make sure that we remain healthy and all of that good stuff. So, Pearline, welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment once again. I hope you're doing well.
Good morning, Bongi, and good morning to all our listeners. Yes, I'm doing well, Bongi, and I trust you are too.
Thank you so much for joining us once again. I'm doing all right. We just had a little bit of a glitch a minute ago, but I'm glad we managed to sort that out before our conversation today. All right, so let's get straight into it. What are the best ways to support a loved one with PTSD?
You know, Bongi, there are many ways, and I think the first and most important one is to educate yourself. So to learn about PTSD, what are its causes, what are the symptoms, and also, you know, what are the treatments that are available. So understanding what people who struggle with PTSD are going through, this can help them, you know, and also help you respond with empathy and also with patience. Sometimes it's just about being a safe and non-judgmental presence. You offer emotional support without pushing them to talk, because this is what we often want them to do. We want them to talk and tell us all about it, while that may not be their need at the moment. So it's very important to just make them feel safe, that you're not judging them, and also just practice active listening. You know, when they speak to you, when they tell them about what they've been through, we listen without interrupting them or even just advising them on what to do. You know, sometimes we think we offer a quick fix and we don't want to avoid or minimize the experience or saying things like, you know, just move on. It happened so long ago. Yeah. That's the last thing, you know, someone struggling with PTSD wants to know. And it's really about being patient. We all know that recovery isn't linear and setbacks happen. And sometimes, you know, when someone becomes emotionally withdrawn or they experience anger suddenly, it's good not to take it personal and to try and understand, you know, where it's coming from. But being patient with that as well is very important. Mm-hmm. And then we need to encourage them to seek professional help. You know, there is different kinds of therapies that deal with trauma-focused therapies like your EMDRs or your CBT, and, you know, offering them that kind of knowledge can be very supportive as well. And I think, you know, just our topic today already speaks about also taking care of ourselves. When we take care of people who struggle with PTSD or who's going through PTSD, we need to also take care of ourselves, Bongi. That is so, so important.
Yeah. There's one thing that you mentioned there, which is encouraging them to seek professional help, you know, because of things like, you know, the stigmas that might be attached to mental health issues, things like that. People might not be very receptive to that. So how do you encourage someone to seek professional help without pushing them away, without making them feel like you think they're crazy or things like that?
Yes, yes. Bongi, there's a very, very delicate balance there that we need to maintain. And, you know, it's really about having compassion and choosing the right time and also just trust, building trust with them. Mm-hmm. So choosing the right moment to speak about it is very important. You, when your emotions are high and when someone is very angry, for example, or when we are angry, we are not able really to be calm. So the idea is that we choose the right moment to suggest help. Mm-hmm. And also just, expressing our concern, saying, you know, I've noticed you seem overwhelmed these days. You're not the same, you don't spend time with us anymore. Is there anything I can do? I wonder, is there anything that I can do to help you? So that will also help them to encourage them to speak to you in terms of what help may be needed. Because once we know, then it's, you know, then it becomes easier to know what we're looking for. Yeah. And it's, you know, for me, when it comes to the stigma, Bongi, it's always so sad that we actually have to speak about destigmatizing mental health in general. Yeah. And therefore, you know, we need to normalize therapy. Sometimes it's good to say, you know, do you know, there are so many people who go to therapy, even people who aren't in crisis.
Exactly.
And they've sought help. So, you know, seeking help is not a shame.
Yeah.
But it's sad for me that we actually have to work with it in terms of destigmatizing, because our health in general is important. And, you know, people that struggle with PTSD, sometimes they may also just need you to offer help with the process. They don't know where to start.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing to say, you know, let's look for a therapist together, or how can I find out for you about if your medical insurance covers this, and so on, so that they can feel that they are in control. And this is a very important way of dealing with PTSD as well, is that they're not being forced into a process, but that they have made the decision to seek help. Mm. And sometimes we need to focus on the benefits. You know, the benefits of therapy, like, you know, you're in control, you have peace of mind, you'll sleep better, you'll feel better about going to work and doing certain things again. And therefore, patience with all of this is so, so important, Bongi.
And if someone had to go into it, maybe they feel like you've pressured them into it, and they go, can they still get the benefits out of it if they're not really into it? They're just doing it to shut you up. Maybe you've been on their back for such a long time. Like, just get some help. And they're like, okay, fine. And they go into it, but they're not really into it. Can they still experience those benefits?
You know, Bongi, I think it could take some time for them. Okay. If they really seek help and they work with a professional, the professional would also recognize this in therapy.
Okay.
When someone is very resistant.
Okay.
And I'm always, you know, of hope. I remain hopeful that eventually they will come to see the benefit of it and slowly but surely give the cooperation in therapy.
Okay.
But it may take some time for someone like that to open up if they feel that they've been forced to do it.
Okay.
I'm just trusting the professional in this instance, and the professional will say, okay, I recognize what I'm working with, and this is how I will proceed. So they eventually will experience the benefit of it.
Got it. Now, what should you avoid saying to someone with PTSD? You know, sometimes the things that we say when we put our foot in our mouth,
yes,
many times we're really, our intentions are really in the good place, but we sometimes don't know
yes.
what exactly to say. So what are the things that we should avoid saying?
Yeah, you know, Bongi, that's a great question, because what not to say is just as important as what to say when supporting someone with PTSD. And like you're saying, you know, sometimes even our well-meaning comments can be very hurtful or triggering. So we should, for example, not say things like, just get over it, or it's all in your head. Because this invalidates the person's experience, and we don't want that. You know, it's almost suggesting that they chose to suffer. Or when someone says, that happened so long ago. Mm. You know, trauma doesn't follow a timeline.
Mm.
Their brain and body may still be reliving the experience. So it's important to be sensitive to, you know, when someone responds in a certain way. Also, when someone says, others have it worse. You know, when we compare experiences, so that almost minimizes their pain, and it makes them feel guilty and even ashamed over, you know, what they've gone through. And that also leads to someone blaming themselves, you know, and it can make the PTSD symptoms also worse sometimes. When someone says, you're overreacting, or why didn't you say something sooner? We don't know why someone hasn't reached out for help at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So when they do, it's important that we jump in and we offer help, you know, and see what we can do. Or sometimes people ask people, what happened? Especially, this is so important not to ask, especially if they're not offering to share with you what has happened.
Mm.
You know, it should be on their terms, on their own terms, when they feel that, you know, they're willing to share and they trust someone enough to share. Another thing that is so interesting, you know, it's almost the same like with depression and anxiety, is when someone say, you don't seem like you have PTSD.
Mm.
PTSD doesn't have a look.
Yeah.
We don't know, you know, and many people hide it well. And, you know, this kind of comment can make it feel very dismissive when we ask them, you know, or say to them, it doesn't look like you have it, as if we know and look what people are going through while just looking at them. And then things like, so having a good day doesn't mean that they're better. Tomorrow they can be in a completely different space from the one that we saw today. So, you know, instead of saying all these things, we should rather say things like, I'm here for you, or that sounds really hard. Thank you for trusting me. Is there anything you need right now? And would it help to talk, or would you prefer your space? And, it's, you know, to check in with a person with gentle questions like those would make them also feel safe then to trust you as someone that they can go to.
All right. And then how can caregivers and family members manage their own stress, the stress that might be attached to helping this person or otherwise? How do we manage our own issues?
Yes, this is a very, you know, it's a very crucial piece of the puzzle, Bongi, is taking care of the caregiver. Because caregivers and family, they often put their own needs last. And this can lead to exhaustion and burnout even. And if we're not aware of what it looks like, then it can also just exacerbate symptoms. So it's firstly important to acknowledge our feelings. You know, when we feel overwhelmed or frustrated, when we feel sad or even resentful sometimes, because living with someone who has or taking care of someone who has PTSD is not an easy journey.
Yeah.
So it's important to recognize our feelings without feeling guilty, and also just to set healthy boundaries. Sometimes we try to overextend ourselves, but it's important to also say, yes, you know, or to recognize I'm not on call 24/7, but there are things that I can do and there are things that I also can't do. And oftentimes, you know, with caregivers, we suggest that they also seek help to see a psychologist. Or to see a therapist, and also maybe even join a support group for PTSD caregivers, which is also part of taking care of themselves. And this will also help to practice self-care without feeling guilty. You know, sometimes we tend to do that. And if we don't watch out for the signs like irritability, numbness, fatigue sometimes, also just feeling hopeless, you know, that things are not going to work out. And if someone also shows health issues, those can all be signs that the caregiver also needs help because they are on their way to burnout.
Yeah, and it's so important, like you said, very important for us to make sure that we take care of ourselves as well. And are there specific resources or support groups for families of those with PTSD? I know we spoke about support groups for people going through PTSD, but what about the families?
Yes, Bongi. You know, there is quite a few resources and support groups of which I'll share with you. And they're not only in Gauteng, but also nationally. So if our listeners would like to go, you know, onto the different websites that I'm going to mention, the organizations now, then they're welcome just to visit and find one in the local areas as well to look for help. So firstly, you know, Vista Clinic, we offer a range of support and we have an extensive network of professionals who deal with trauma and treat people with PTSD. We have a beautiful program called the Partial Hospitalization Program where people can come in on a daily basis and, you know, it runs like an outpatient program. So if you don't want to be hospitalized necessarily, you can come in the morning, go home in the evening for a week or, you know, whatever is discussed relevant with. And then there's SADAG, the South African Depression and Anxiety Group, and they offer a variety of mental health support groups for people struggling with trauma and also just for caregivers as well. So our listeners may want to just have a look at that as well. And then there's FAMSA, who's also all over South Africa in Gauteng. There's Heal South Africa. They also offer you know, mental health support groups, both online and face-to-face as well. There's Life Council SA. And then there's quite a few online directories and resources. I think with COVID, you know, so many things have changed in terms of how we seek help. So instead of, you know, going physically to someone, there's online directories. And the two that I'd like to mention is Psychology Today. So if you go onto their website, you find quite a few. There's a directory of therapists and counselors in the entire South Africa. So someone can just log on and see. And they offer online services as well, which is very useful if someone cannot travel or they don't have the resources to travel. And in the South African Federation for Mental Health, SAFMH, their help desk, they also help with information and also just referrals for mental health services, including support for families of individuals with PTSD as well. So those are a few, Bongi, and I would encourage our listeners that, you know, if they themselves or someone with PTSD needs help in this regard, they're welcome to go and visit those websites of the organizations that I've just mentioned to you.
Got it. Thank you so much, Praline, for another very insightful conversation. And I look forward to connecting again soon. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Bongi.
All right.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.